Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the fact that you've given to us another special Sabbath day, 24 hours just to be with you, to spend time in fellowship, good Christian fellowship with one another, and to seek you as we study from you in your word. And this morning, as we do so and we look into the words of Scripture, that we pray that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts. Speak to each person here a message from your word, for we know that you have some special message for all of us. So help us to hear and find that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This week has been quite a week in our world. Our nation has mourned the terrible tragedy of the events that took place in Tucson, and terrible flooding has gone on down in the land down under. We've seen the images of homes and lives devastated by the horrible flooding that's taking place down in Australia. And Donald Trump has decided he's going to run for president. I don't know what to make of that whole thing, but it was a piece of news that kind of stood out in my mind, and I thought, Donald Trump as a president. You're fired. I just don't get it. But then again, I never have gotten the whole Donald Trump thing. I mean, if you have so much money, why can't you get a good haircut, man? I just don't get it. I've got millions of dollars, so therefore I can be president of the United States. I don't know. I've got a hit TV show, so I can be president of the United States. I don't know what goes through people's mind. You know the TV show, right? The Apprentice. You know the one where people come together and they compete to be president of one of Donald Trump's major corporations. And at the end, he very unceremoniously says goodbye to one of the contestants by saying very tersely, "You're fired." And that's the thing. You create this persona of an exacting, you know, media and business mogul, and you think that somehow it's going to help you become president of the United States, which is interesting because on top of everything else, this idea for this persona that he has in this show actually isn't even his. And this idea, in fact, it isn't even Mark Burnett, even though he's supposedly the creator of the show. Actually, you know who thought up the idea? Jesus. They actually stole the idea of their show from the Bible. And if you think about it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. They stole it right from Matthew chapter 25. And this morning, I'd like to look at this stolen idea that has made it now into its 10th season on NBC, I believe. But they stole it right from Jesus himself. Jesus set up The Apprentice some 2,000 years ago in a parable that he told his disciples. In fact, the parable of the apprentices comes from Matthew chapter 25, but it's actually a continuation of Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, we all know Matthew 24, signs of the end, wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and famines and earthquakes and so on and so forth. And so Matthew 24 talks about the end of time. And then in verses 1 through 3, we read the story of the 10 virgins, or the parable of the 10 virgins, which talks about the need for the Holy Spirit when? At the end of time. And with that context in mind, we move on into verses 14 to 30 of Matthew chapter 25, where we read about this parable that instructs us. First, we're instructed as to what is going to happen at the end of time. Then we learn about the need for the Holy Spirit at the end of time. And then the parable of the apprentices tells us what we are supposed to be doing at the end of time. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went out on a journey." Now let's stop there, because there was a very small word that may have missed your attention, but it's probably the most important word in all of this particular parable. It's a little bitty, any tiny word, four letters long, but it's very, very important that we not miss this one word in all the parable. Where does it, you may ask? The word each. It says in verse 15, he says, to each according to his own ability. And what we learn from this little bitty word, each, it actually comes from the Greek word heskatos, which means every man or every one. We learn one very important lesson, the most important lesson that Jesus is trying to get across in this parable. In fact, this is the same word, each, that you're going to find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when it talks about the spiritual gifts. It's telling us that each of us has been given something by God. God has given us something. God has not left us just to be kind of these free radical Christians who just kind of sit around and do nothing. God has given us all something. Many somethings, in fact. Some receive five and some receive two and some received a meager one, but yet everybody gets something in God's kingdom, which brings us to the main point of the sermon. This sermon is, in fact, and if you look on your in your bulletins, we have a little sermon outline where you can follow me. The main point of our sermon, this sermon is about stewardship. I got you. You didn't know you were going to get a stewardship sermon out of the end of time, but that's what this sermon is about. Now, let me just say one thing. We're not talking about finances here. We're talking about stewardship, which are two very different things. Because to God, God to us, he has given many different things. And many of us, he hasn't given large amounts of money, but he has given to us many different things. God, in the parable, it's about talents. Talents in a physical sense, talents of money, lots of money, in fact. But God has given to each of us different things by which we can help further his kingdoms. Has anybody heard of the five T's of stewardship? Oh, good. I'm glad that we get a chance to share with them. We're going to do a little stewardship sermon this morning. The five T's of stewardship, they're on your sermon outline. There are five T's that God has given each and every one of you. And yes, so God has given all of us money, some of it more than others. And I appreciate the meager amounts that he gives me, and I wish that he'd give me more, but that's okay. But stewardship is much more than just money. Stewardship is about five things, and they all start with a T. The first T in stewardship, the first thing that God gives to everybody is God gives absolutely everybody the same amount of time. That's right. You have 24 hours in the day, just like the person next to you. What you do with it is up to you. It's a matter of stewardship. How are you going to take care of the things that God has given you? The first T in stewardship is time. The second T we've already talked about is treasure. God has given you a treasure, some of it more meager than others, but all of us have been given something. And what you do with that is between you and God. And how you administer the money that God has given you is how you are stewarding your treasure. The third T, talent. All of us have talents. Some people seem to have more than others. Our young people seem to be wonderfully talented here in this church. But each person has some sort of a talent. And so God has given you time and treasure and talent. And the fourth T is your temple. God has given you a physical temple for you to do with as he would have you to do, or you would choose for yourself. But every single one of us has a temple, right? We all have a body. So we all have time, we all have treasure, we all have talent, we all have a temple. And the fifth T, we all have a testimony. We have a testimony that we can give. We have influence over others that we can use for good, or we can use, or just, well, rather not use at all. God has given us time, treasure, talent, temple, and testimony. And so this morning, as we look at this parable, let's look at this parable in terms of all the things that God has given to us, more than just the money or the talents that many times this parable people refer to it as. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." God has given each of us the opportunities and the talents and all these means. What are you going to do with it? Because God has given it to us. Let's continue forward with this parable then. Verse 16. "Then he who had received the 5 talents went out and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. And he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Now, let's stop for a second and look at the situation. We have this Lord, this owner of land and money and so on and so forth. And he has 3 stewards, servants. They're stewards. He's given to them money. How much is a talent? A talent is like 17 years' wages. It's a lot of money, but the amount is not important. The idea is that he has given from what he has to them for them to go out and use. And then he comes back. And let's just notice the obvious thing. In this life, as we've mentioned, God has given to us stuff, but in the end, there will come a day of reckoning. A day for the master to settle up accounts with his servants. And the point for us is that for us as well, there will be a day of reckoning. Now, I don't mean this in the sense that, you know, God is going to have a day of reckoning, so each of you should be scared and quaking in your boots. Not at all. The idea is, eventually, we are going to get our chance to be with God, or not be with God, but we'll have to face God one way or another. Which side of the millennium is up to you. But we will all face God. And what will you say that you have done with your time and with your talents and your treasure and all those things? So let's continue on with verse 20. "So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Imagine that. I can just imagine this faithful servant brimming with joy and pride. I mean, pride in the good sense, you know. God has asked you, his Lord has asked him to go out and do something, and he has accomplished the mission that he has been commissioned to do. And that's one thing that it seems to me these days, that we get this crazy idea that pride is completely out of the picture. No, there is a time in life when God calls you to do something. You go out and you do it, and not in a personal, selfish, prideful way, but in a prideful way like, God asked me to do something, and he gave me the strength, and we have finished the work. And with joy and pride, you come back and say, here are your 5, and here are 5 more. And what better state of mind and position and happiness to be in than when the Lord asks, what have you done with what I've given you? And you say, Lord, I have heeded your call. I've gone to Honduras and I've helped build churches and I've shared my testimony with my neighbors and I've shared my money with those who are in need and we've helped build the church and I've done this and that and so on and so forth. God does ask us what we do with our time, because God has given us the grace for salvation, but God asks us above and beyond that, how can you be involved together with me in taking that grace to others? And when we can say, I have doubled what you've given to me, That's one of the greatest joys of all. And this morning, as we look at this situation, it seems to me that in the church, we have people who are given lots. They have lots of talent and lots of things. And when I think of those people, I think of our youth. To me, our youth are like this servant who have been given so much. They have so much, they have so much time ahead of themselves, and they have so much talent. This morning, young people, you are this servant who's been given 5 talents. And this morning, I'd like to issue a challenge to you. I'd like to issue 3 challenges this morning. Our first is for our young people. Our young people are our 5 talent servants. And I'd like to issue you a talent. You guys have been faithful. We have some wonderful young people in our church. They are smart. They are applied. They go out there and they are just some terrific kids. And I'm so proud of them because they're talented, they're focused, they keep their nose clean, and they study and they work hard and they play hard. But my challenge to you young people today is invest in your church. Find out what God is calling you to do and how you can be involved in the mission that God has for you to reach this planet for Jesus Christ and to take this last day message to the world. God has given you folks an extra portion of talents and time and all these different things. Invest in your church. Find out what God would have you to do. Invest in the mission of God that God has for each of you. Take it to the next level. Out and use. And then he comes back. And let's just notice the obvious thing. In this life, as we've mentioned, God has given to us stuff, but in the end, there will come a day of reckoning. A day for the master to settle up accounts with his servants. And the point for us is that for us as well, there will be a day of reckoning. Now, I don't mean this in the sense that, you know, God is going to have a day of reckoning, so each of you should be scared and quaking in your boots. Not at all. The idea is, eventually, we are going to get our chance to be with God, or not be with God, but we'll have to face God one way or another. Which side of the millennium is up to you. But we will all face God. And what will you say that you have done with your time and your talents and your treasure and all those things? So let's continue on with verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Imagine that. I can just imagine this faithful servant brimming with joy and pride. I mean, pride in the good sense, you know. God has asked you, his Lord has asked him to go out and do something, and he has accomplished the mission that he has been commissioned to do. And that's one thing that it seems to me these days that we get this crazy idea that pride is completely out of the picture. No, there is a time in life when God calls you to do something. You go out and you do it, and not in a personal, selfish, prideful way, but in a prideful way like, God asked me to do something, and he gave me the strength, and we have finished the work. And with joy and pride, you come back and say, here are your 5, and here are 5 more. And what better state of mind and position and happiness to be in than when the Lord asks, what have you done with what I've given you? And you say, Lord, I have heeded your call. I've gone to Honduras, and I've helped build churches, and I've shared my testimony with my neighbors, and I've shared my money with those who are in need, and we've helped build the church, and I've done this and that, and so on and so forth. God does ask us what we do with our time, because God has given us the grace for salvation, but God asks us above and beyond that, how can you be involved together with me in taking that grace to others? And when we can say, I have doubled what you've given to me. That's one of the greatest joys of all. And this morning, as we look at this situation, it seems to me that in the church, we have people who are given lots. They have lots of talent and lots of things. And when I think of those people, I think of our youth. To me, our youth are like this servant who have been given so much. They have so much, well, they have so much time ahead of themselves, and they have so much talent. This morning, young people, you are this servant who's been given 5 talents. And this morning, I'd like to issue a challenge to you. I'd like to issue 3 challenges this morning. Our first is for our young people. Our young people are our 5 talent servants. And I'd like to issue you a talent. You guys have been faithful. We have some wonderful young people in our church. They are smart. They are applied. They go out there and they are just some terrific kids. And I'm so proud of them because they're talented, they're focused, they keep their nose clean, and they study and they work hard and they play hard. But my challenge to you young people today is invest in your church. Find out what God is calling you to do and how you can be involved in the mission that God has for you to reach this planet for Jesus Christ and to take this last day message to the world. God has given you folks an extra portion of talents and time and all these different things. Invest in your church. Find out what God would have you to do. Invest in the mission of God that God has for each of you. Take it to the next level. Find where God is working in your life and see how you can be involved in kingdom work. Let's continue on, verse 22. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Reminds me of a story that I was told once of a lady named Lillian. Lillian was getting on in years, and she wasn't sure what she was going to do with her life. She had lost family members, and she was now a widow. And she thought, what can I do for the Lord, and how can I use the few things that I have been given to help his kingdom? And so after her husband had died and her children had grown up, she was alone. And one day the pastor called her and he said, ma'am, there's a woman who's coming to visit her son in prison that's near here. And could she stay with you? I don't know if you wanted somebody in your house, but she has a need. Would you be willing to help her out? And so Lillian decided, okay, I would like to do that. I suppose I could open my home to somebody. It's been filled for so many years, and now it's empty. And so I have my home. I'll open that up. And so the lady came to visit her son and visit him on a regular basis for a couple of weeks. And when she was done, she thanked Lillian, and they had such a nice time together. And she says, Lillian, there is no one to visit my boy. Would you be willing to go and visit him from time to time? And Lillian thought about it, and she thought, well, time is something that I have. I'm retired now. And so she went out, and she decided that she would visit the son. And one day she went in to visit the boy, and as they opened the bars, and she went past all the metal detectors and all those things, she came into the room where the son was. And as she came close, she saw him there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart. And said to her, woman, behold your son. And at that point in time, she knew exactly what God was calling her to do. God was calling her to minister to this young man who was in need of ministering. And so faithfully she came and visited the son. She brought him hugs and cookies and all types of things. And soon, with all of Lillian's time being spent in the prison, people began to notice how she was taking care of someone who wasn't even her son. An official at the jail noticed that after Lillian had visited this place where it was filled with violent criminals, that the criminals were beginning to notice the love of one person for another, of someone in society, above and beyond his family, and that maybe there could be a little bit of hope. And because of Lillian, the criminals who were there serving their time began to take notice, and they began to be filled with hope. And somehow, the violence there in the jail began to slowly go down. And this prison official said, it's one thing when inmates become religious, but it's different when the guards begin to start to show interest and kindness. And the guards even were beginning to be changed because they noticed that the inmates were being changed because of the one inmate who was being changed, whose life was being touched by this one old lady. And what is so unique about this story is that there's a lady who wasn't sure what to do with her old age, but she had a couple of things that she could do. She had her home, and she had her time, and she gave to the Lord. And in the end, she was able to receive in return so much more than she had put into it, that one day she will have to give an accounting for her life. And she will say, here, you have given me two things. And here are, well, more than two things. Because she took God up on his offer of receiving two things. And she put them to work. And she got so much more back for having put God's talents to work for her. So my challenge today, challenge number two, is to our adults. My challenge to you adults is to step up and lead. Step up and lead because the youth are watching. These young people are impressionable young people, and they see whatever whatever experience they have in the church. Many times they have what they have because of what they see in their parents and they see in their home. And if their parents are involved in church, they're putting effort to coming and being there and volunteering and being there for other things, then the young people will take that away. And if they don't see much, they won't have much of an experience to take on into their adulthood. So my challenge is to step up and lead, because the youth are watching, the community is watching, and most importantly, God is watching. God is saying, I've given you two talents. What are you doing with those two talents? I've given you time. It may not be a large amount of time, but those two talents of time, what are you doing with them? What are you doing with the time that you have above and beyond the day-to-day things of life? Are you putting me in it, or are you putting in other distractions of life? The youth are watching, the community is watching, and most importantly, God is watching. Let's finish out, beginning with verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How sad. Can you imagine how sad it would be at the end of the time that was allotted to have nothing to show for that time? But even more sad, how sad it would be to be living a life that's being used for nothing. And at the end of time, when God comes to take account, God, I didn't do much with the life that you gave me. I didn't do much with the money that you gave me, or the time that you gave me, or the talents, or the testimony, or the temple. I just kind of buried my talents in the ground. Today, my challenge number three is to those who have buried their talents. Maybe there's somebody out there, I don't know, I'm not going to point any fingers, but you know who you are if you are that person. Maybe there's somebody out there who's burying their talents in the ground. They're just kind of living from day to day, but haven't taken God at His word and put their talents to use. My challenge to you today, take a risk. Put God on trial. See if He won't come through for you. And take a risk and say, God, okay, you've given me this one meager talent. I'm going to ask you to help me put it to use. We're going to step out. We're going to take a risk. We're going to abandon fear and step out and see if God will bless the efforts that I put forward. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it tells us specifically to test God, doesn't it? In verse, it's actually the famous stewardship text that many times we read, but we miss the important part. It says in verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." Verse 10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it." Friends, this text is talking about money, but it goes beyond so much more than just the greenbacks that sit there in your wallet. It's about testing God and saying, God, you've asked me to put forward X, and I will bring back, and you will bring back Y and Z and A and B and C and D and E. But none of Y and Z and A and B and C and D is going to happen until we put X forward. Nothing's going to come back to us until we put forward. Nothing's going to happen to us until we abandon our fear of failure, just like this fearful servant, and we step forward and we take God at His word. Ambrose Redman has a very, very interesting quote. He says, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear." I know that there may be some out there who are afraid. What's going to happen? What will God do if I try and give my testimony? Or try and be involved in this church project? Or reach out to my neighbor next door in the name of Jesus Christ? Test God is what he's saying. Put God to the test. And God will work beyond your fear. Why? Because, well, as 1 John 4:18 tells us, there is no fear in love. God loves us so much that He wouldn't let us down. Let me close this morning by telling you a story I heard last night. I just heard it, and I was just like, wow. At Vespers, one of our College View Academy students was talking about the fact that they came across a difficult situation, and this particular student is in the process of figuring out how God works in their young adult life. And he's ready to move beyond the childhood faith, but doesn't know how God fits in his life. And so he came across this, a predicament at work. He was asked to clean one of the machines there at work, and in the process of cleaning, lost one of the pieces that was important to the machine. And he thought, oh no, what am I going to do? If I don't find this piece in the machine, I am going to get fired because I have a stern boss. And he looked and he looked and he looked for that piece. And then after about 10 minutes, he realized, maybe God can help me with this. So he stopped. He says, all right, I'll put God to the test on this one. See if he won't find for me this piece and spare me my job. And so he continued to look and he continued to look and he continued to look. And I don't know, maybe he's related to Josh, I don't know, but he didn't find that piece. And he came back to work the next morning, and there it was. And God had come through for him. And now he is College View Academy, standing up in front of all his other students, leading them, calling them to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, because he put God to the test. He says, God, I'm calling you to come through for me. And that's my challenge to those of you who've hid your talents in the sand. You've dug a hole and you've buried what God has given to you in the spiritual sand. And God is saying, try me. Test me. Put forward just a little bit, just one tenth, just one small part, and try me in this, that I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you cannot even measure it. How many times you and I are stuck with fear because we don't know what's going to happen when God is just saying, give me a chance. Let me into your life. Let me do it. And let me worry about the results. And God can bless you with so much if you will just let go and let him take over the situation. My challenge to all of you is to step forward, to use your talents, your spiritual, whatever it is, your time and your temple and your testimony, your treasure and your talents. God is calling each of you to do something special for him. Stand up and do it. Be like our young people who are going to go forward, going to go out to the rest of the world and do something for him. You don't have to go to Honduras, but you can go to your next door neighbor. You don't have to go halfway across the world, but you can go halfway across your neighborhood and help someone who is in need. You can be a part of things that are happening here at the church, or you can just say a word of kindness to someone else, and you can take joy and kindness and the love of Jesus Christ to someone else if you use your testimony and your time and your temple and all those things, and you give them to God. And he will bless you in such a great manner that there will be no way to measure all the things that God has done through you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this morning, you have given to us a challenge. You have reminded us that each and every one of us has received from you. Some more, some less, but all have received something from you. And you are calling us to step forward in faith. Put forward what you have given to us and see how you will return in great measure. Lord, take away our fear. Surround us with your love. And help us to see where you are calling us to sow so that you may reap a rich harvest because of our faithfulness. And we pray these things in the precious and glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.